We're all in a go status.
ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books. Two to go. Second hour of the big show is upon us.
People that was weird.
Graciously saying hello as they pass on through.
Instead of saying hot, you went hello in our ear.
Indeed.
You ever told your teacher you loved her?
No.
Or called her mom?
No.
That was weird. You were like, hello.
So I was looking in there to say, I thought he was going to reach for the receiver.
He said it was because his phone. You said that in our ear, too.
Yeah, because my phone was ringing. My bad.
Did you answer your phone hot?
No. I should have, though. That would have been funny.
All backwards.
That definitely would have worked.
Yeah. I have called my teacher mom before. I never said I loved you, but I have done that to a friend on accident.
Boy.
Like, I was talking to the wife, and I was like, okay, my buddy's on the phone, I'll call you back. And then I was on the phone with my buddy, and then as we were hanging up, I was like, all right, love you, bye. And then I was like, oh, no. And he texted me, he called me all kind of names that aren't appropriate in 2019.
See Minnesota Timberwolves 2 days ago.
Yeah, but I was like, that sucked. And then I had to explain to him.
I did worse than that.
What?
You kissed one of your friends? I was in a sound sleep and was...
saying another woman's name.
Had not been dating that long and kind of just groggy, woke up a little bit and she was talking. I was like, oh yeah, I love you. All right. And I fell back to sleep and I was like, all of a sudden it's like, did I dream that?
Did I actually say I love you?
Because if I did, I'm locked in and screwed for a while.
Ooh, oh boy. Yeah. Woo, and you can't
baby.
Be like, no, I didn't mean it. I was asleep.
Yeah, that's worse.
Oh yeah. That would be worse.
That was, yeah. So
you could just be like, did I? Because I was asleep. Did I really say
I got out
you?
Of it, but it wasn't pretty.
You're kidding. You did get out of it?
Eventually. It took a little time. But
best
yeah.
way to get out of that is just cheat on her. And then she'll call it off and you don't have to worry about it. No, don't take advice. Don't take relationship advice from me. All right, a couple of texts before we get back to it. Somebody said, I got to give Mike on Twitter some props. Where the hell does his last name go? I just lost it. Damn it.
Is it Richard?
Is it?
Yeah, TCU Mike or something?
Yeah,
like that?
Mike. I don't know if it's Richard or Richard, but Mike suggested that getting hit in the face last night was the best defense Harden has played all year.
It's Richard. Mike Richard.
Not only is that hilarious, but kind of true. Like, although he didn't get the turnover, but he did deflect the pass. So I wonder if that goes down as a deflected pass. Yeah, that's so super funny, Mike. A couple of texts. Somebody said, I got roped into coaching my niece's 7-year-old basketball team. Do y'all see yourselves coaching your kids if y'all have any in the future? Wish me luck.
I wouldn't mind doing it for a while.
We know Joel is going to coach basketball if his daughter plays basketball. There's no way competitive-ass Joel is not going to be.
I got scared off of that last weekend. So I played
just last weekend.
Yeah, just last weekend we were playing hoops, and two of the guys that I play with, and one guy played in college, and he's about 6'7", 6'8", but he plays kind of sporadically now because he's got two kids. And he played, and another guy who had his daughter out on the court afterwards trying to teach her to shoot a little bit, they were talking to each other, and they're like, hey, you coach them? And they're like, yeah. And he goes, yeah, I coach my team. And they started saying, like, the fact that they're like, do you run plays? And they're like, now, you know there's rules. Like, you can't hand check. You can't do this. Every player has to touch it in certain cases. They have all these different rules and stuff.
What?
I'm like, yeah, I'd be like, I'm out. And then they said the parents just go nuts. Like, if their kid didn't get enough touches, it sounded like Dwight Howard, their kids didn't get enough touches or didn't get a chance to score. I was like, I don't want to deal with all that.
See, for my whole deal is if the league is a league that you paid for your kid to go in that league,
mm-hmm.
I'm all for they have to play for 2.5 quarters or 3 quarters or blah, blah, blah. The touches, I think parents are going a little too far. But in terms of minutes... if you paid for your kids to play, I think they have every right to say, hey, the rule says my son has to play on an eight-man roster that my son or daughter has to play at least 2 quarters or at least 3 quarters, you know? Because I remember one of the other parents was yelling at the coach that in his first Colony League, and they only played him two quarters. And then the coach's excuse was, well, he didn't show up to practice or he was late. And I'm like, that's not an excuse when you pay. You can, now, if you're in a school league, or if you're like, you know, like or a school, like if you're on the school basketball team, middle school, high school, then yeah, I can see the coach has the right to bench you, limit your minutes, all that other stuff.
Yeah, you shouldn't. Yeah,
yeah. But if your parents paid, yeah, you should get your minutes.
I get the pay for play, so at least they get something out of it. Like they get court time, and I get that because they used to have like when I was little, it was the A team and the B team, and the B team would come in for at least a quarter, quarter and a half, at some points during the game. But then the other thing that they said, which was really weird to me, was you have to determine which handed the kid is, and you're not allowed to overplay that hand. I was like, what? They get that serious? And they're like, oh, yeah. And the parents will start freaking out. Like, if you're right-handed and you're bringing the ball up the court, Nick, and I can see you're right-handed, as a coach, I can't tell my player
to left.
Get in there and overplay or go nothing, but they're right. You can't do that. I was like, that's
so weird. Yeah, that's too many rules.
That's stupid.
That's so many rules. I didn't have that. And I paid.
No, we didn't have that at all. No.
If you sucked, you got in with 2 minutes left in the game. That's it. My parents paid. I mean, I wasn't the suckiest kid in basketball, so I didn't – I mean, I didn't – I played some because I would get out there and I'd foul out in 3 minutes, but I was going to D you up.
And throw the hook shot.
Well, that was B-team basketball. Oh. That was junior high B-team. But when I paid, no, I didn't – and my dad, you know what my dad would tell me? You want to play more? Get better. You can only dribble with your right hand. Your shot sucks.
How much was
the
season?
You foul when you defend. I don't know, but that was his whole thing.
The difference is between...
You know what he did? He installed a goal at the house and said, get better.
Yeah. But the difference is between like a YMCA league, because a lot of the junior leagues growing up, they were at the Y or the rec center.
Yeah, they'll definitely give you your minutes.
That's exactly right. That's where the minutes come. But if it's with the school, like a grade school league, the coach is trying to win. So you may or may not get minutes at all, depending on what the score of the game is.
And look, Joel, if Taylor ever does decide, or if you and Lisa are okay with her playing basketball, like I played at the First Colony Community Basketball Association, whatever. It's been around for like 30 years. I'm telling you, you're going to pay, I don't know, it goes up 10 or 20 bucks every season. Sure. It's probably up to like two or 225 for a season right now.
Oh, God.
When you pay for that, I guarantee you they're going to give her two and a half quarters every single game. There's no excuse. There's no reason for it. Now, the touches or telling that your player can only play defense a certain way, I think
or
that's
dribble
BS.
Dribble with their left hand half
ridiculous.
The time.
You also
Kiss
can't press.
My ass.
You also can't press.
Oh my God!
And there's a verbal too. If you yell out a certain verbal command when you get a rebound or whatever, everybody has to drop back behind half court.
See, these kids are gonna be pusses when they get older. Really, this is bad.
But I get you. They get a badass
this
participation trophy,
dude. And then they wonder, like, I don't know, this soft ass. That's crazy to me. Crazy to me.
Yeah. I can't believe the forcing left.
I would be like, no, I'm not coaching.
I'm not coaching.
Because I would end up fighting about 15 parents. I'd be like, you know what? Your son sucks. Your daughter is terrible. She needs to go, like, I don't know, take a cooking class or play volleyball. Because basketball, she sucks.
That's probably why a lot of parents these days say, you know what?
The cooking class.
I want my kids to play basketball. I want my kids to play sports, but I don't want to coach them. That's why you hear a lot of parents say that they just don't. Because maybe a lot of it has to do with not just the tough love that they're going to give their kids, but the fact that these rules are crazy and they have to be fair to everybody.
And you've seen the videos. You know what else is crazy and crazier? And that is the actual parents that stalk the referees going up and down the court and then get on the coaches if they're not getting their minutes or they're not getting what they think. Well, then you coach the team. Because the bottom line is there's just way too many rules.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. I didn't know about all those rules.
Speaking of crazy, and this is, I know we're jumping around, but some of the text lines sometimes it's just off the wall, one thing after another. Eric texted and said, my stepsister and my wife look very similar from behind.
Okay.
And I walked up behind what I thought was my wife and kissed her on the neck.
Oh,
yes,
no.
It was my stepsister. Damn.
How'd that go?
Damn, Eric.
Well, I hope it was just a peck.
That's so. Yeah. Did you give her a hickey? Like
that's. I'm like.
But I think if you look at his reaction, if he genuinely mistaken them, mistaken his stepsister,
if he got a chub, either way, that's weird. Well,
but you would see his face, like, you know, I would imagine his face would be really worried and concerned. Like his wife should have been able to tell if he really mistaken.
That happened once in our family at a Thanksgiving on North side of the family. At the time, her sister's boyfriend, they were all in the kitchen, and he walked up, and he, you know how you slap your wife on the ass?
Yeah.
He slapped Nora on the ass, thinking it was Nancy, his girlfriend. And they were both like, excuse me? He was like, oh, my God. He felt horrible. I was like, yeah, don't. Now we got to fight. Now I got to fight you, bro. Now I have to murder you because you touched my wife's ass. Now I've got to kill you.
Can you imagine that? Damn, the New Year's resolution already paying off. She's looking good. I'm going to go. Oh, hey. Right? Dude, God, I noticed your perfume smelled different.
That would be horrible. Josh and Beaumont said, doesn't Mahomes' success in the NFL mean Tech underperformed? While Kingsbury was there?
I was thinking about that last night.
Mahomes was 13-15 at Tech in a conference known for good offense and poor defense.
I thought about that. Like, if you really want to get on this Cliff Kingsbury bandwagon, then why didn't they play better? Don't tell me just because, what, the conference had a few good teams? You should still, like you said, they should still be putting up offensively massive numbers.
Right. That's why I don't understand why he got a head coaching job to begin with. He just got fired for underperforming at a school in Texas where you have Texas recruits available to you. Granted, you're not going to get all the five stars and blue chippers, but Texas football is one of the best football states in the country. If you get three-star Texas guys, that's probably way better than, you know, four-star Utah guys or Idaho guys. I don't know. You should, they should be better. Mike Leach proved you can win at Tech if
that's
you do it the right
point.
Way.
Or anywhere else. If you've got a potent offense and a guy that good, you should at least be able to move the ball. You can make any average receiver look better with an arm like that and escapability. So, all right, we'll continue to roll on. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. You can call that number. You can text that number. And, of course, you can reach us via Twitter, where it's at @TheProducerNick, at @PacManJoel with a K, and at @BarryIsFunny. More of the usual suspects right around the corner. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
ESPN, ESPN 97.5, we're waiting on Joel and Barry. Nick Sciarra with you, the usual suspects, 1 to 4 p.m. Be sure to download the app. What's up, Joel? Nice of you to join us, sir.
I'm here. You could have let that play out for another 10 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, my bad.
But I know why you did it, and I understand it, because that's kind of the way we do things. So, I get it, but I'm here. But that was fantastic, by the way. Your sultry pipes were a great way to welcome people in.
I appreciate that. I was roaming the halls looking for Joel and Barry. They were nowhere to be found.
You gotta get water.
But right when I saw you, I was very happy.
That's a lie. But overall, hey, knee deep in hour number two of the big show. So we'll continue to roll on and go forward. Got basketball out of the way in hour number one, talking a little Rockets, because obviously that's a tough one, a loss last night, but the game itself was rather competitive. And then we got into some NFL news and notes as we continue to see the NFL coaching opportunities falling by the wayside and those roles being filled. You now know the fact that of all the things going on and people taking places that maybe were expected and in some cases weren't expected, there's only two coaching positions still left in the NFL, and that would be the Cincinnati Bengals and the Miami Dolphins. If you're Miami, based on that track record and the fact that Gase just didn't get anything done with Tannehill, you better get yourself one hell of an experienced guy, and then you better go get yourself a quarterback.
100%. I think you have to get yourself a quarterback. I think that's kind of the built-in. You're talking about Tannehill, correct?
Yeah.
I think that was kind of the built-in excuse that Gase has, or at least we will see he had in the event that he has some success over there in New York, because everybody felt like Ryan Tannehill was not the option, was not the go-to guy. And so I think that's the only thing that you have for Adam Gase. So we're going to see, is he really a good coach, or was he a victim? Was he really a bad coach, or was he a victim of a situation where he didn't have the right quarterback?
Because the only thing you can say is he has taken chicken bleep and turned it into chicken salad because he worked with Jay Cutler. But you know, I'm sure that was his calling card to get the head coaching job in Miami. But then everything that he did with Tannehill, it's like, you know, everybody finds lightning in a bottle once, but I'm not sure you can manufacture
it. I believe in Tannehill at first, but then he quickly showed that he wasn't really.
He was never consistent enough for me.
Right.
Tannehill, like, he would have good moments, he would have bad moments. He more bad than good, it felt like, but it just never, you never got, he was never the model of consistency. Right. It's okay if you're not going to be great, but you got to be good most of the time.
He played receiver at A&M.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
he played a little bit of quarterback there.
Yeah, I think it was last year.
But he was mostly a receiver. Yeah, he was like third string and then ended up getting the job at some point.
Gotcha.
Yeah, pretty interesting.
Lamar's on the phone. He wants to talk Texas QBs in the NFL.
Lamar, hey, how you guys doing, man? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I wanted to know what your feelings were on the NFL's rule, or is it the NCAA? I don't know which one of them, which is preventing the kid from Clemson from going pro. Their true freshman quarterback, because what I saw the other day after he put that, after they beat the skates off of Alabama, that he certainly is ready to go. He might not be able to take over an offense, but he sure would be. It would be nice to have him as an understudy. So I'll take my answer offline.
Sure, appreciate the call, Lamar. I'm okay with it. I'm never going to be against or never going to be for denying somebody the ability to make money as an adult. Because let's face it, we call him a kid. He's an adult. He's playing in college, but he's as age goes, he is an adult. But I know why they have the rule. I mean, when you think about physically him versus an NFL caliber player, it's not the same. And that couple of years, is especially in football, basketball, not as much. I mean, if there's a kid that wants to go from high school to the pros, okay, go. I mean, if you know, Zion Williams wanted to go pro out of high school, I don't think a lot of people would have said no. But I mean, LeBron did it. There's plenty of guys that made the case to do it.
This is what I'm saying, though. This is where I was going to go with this. The fact, I'm surprised it hasn't gotten more run, whether it be because of the recent quarterbacks that have wanted to come out and have been told you have to wait to a certain point, or the fact that you go back to exactly what I was going to go to, the LeBron situation. That was a huge deal when they wanted to have the you didn't have to do the one and done anymore in college. You just could go straight from high school. And, you know, the argument was you can't deprive a guy of being able to make a living. And if, you know, you're being told, or there's opportunities for you that say you can go right from high school to make a living, no one should be able to say, no, you got to sit and wait a year. Which is why a lot of these kids started going overseas to try and play overseas instead of college for a year, because they could get paid to do that.
But, you know, the reason in football, I think, more than anything is physically. Yeah, and in Euro, I mean, do you disagree
with
that?
No, I get that.
Basically just protecting these kids.
The flip side you're going to get, though, as an argument is you can't deprive a kid of being able to make a living, especially when you're talking about that large of a sum of money.
Well, a lot of these kids that like Lawrence and you know, guys like Johnny Manziel that had to play a year before they went, they have an insurance policy. And so it's not going to be what they might make as an NFL quarterback, but you can't predict the future either. They could flame out like Johnny Manziel did. But the fact that, you know, if these kids do get hurt in college or unable, they're covered just in case. But to me, it's a little different. And I don't know that, you know, Trevor Lawrence is necessarily going in and lighting up the NFL as a 19-year-old kid, an 18-year-old kid. I mean, he's a true freshman, so he ain't much more than 19 if he is.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too. I mean, I saw all the tweets start coming out that, you know, Trevor Lawrence should be the number one overall pick. If he could come out, he would.
Yeah, he's 19.
Yeah, and he is 19. Yeah. So, I mean, the thing is that just adds fuel to the fire. But you're right. From a simple standpoint of, look, you know, at Clemson, you had an offensive line that kept you upright, and you were playing against guys your own age for the most part. I mean, you have the random case where a guy is an older guy playing college football. But overall, in the NFL, most times you're going to a really bad team which played bad enough to get the number one overall pick, which means you have more hole than just quarterback. And protection's an issue, and you're right. I mean, if you got a guy that, you know, look at the difference. We just said from a basketball standpoint, Adetokounmpo put on 53 pounds of muscle from the time he joined the NBA until to where he is now. And you look at how quickly these kids but it takes a good year or so for them to get the NFL regiment down and gain weight, lift weight.
I mean, this
more.
Dude is still in puberty at 18, 19 years old. And not only that, but keep in mind, too, he wasn't playing. I realized that he did well, and some of the guys on that field were NFL caliber, but not all of them. He was not playing 11 guys that belonged in the NFL, and he wasn't playing even half of the guys that belonged to the NFL at the same time. So there are NFL prospects on that field. But it's a whole different thing. The coaching, the schemes, everything is completely different. And just to kind of prove your point, put him behind the Texans O-line to see how well he does as a 19-year-old kid.
Yeah.
You'd break that kid. You'd ruin him forever. Well, and so you kind of worry about that too.
And here's the other one. He played Alabama's defensive line once. In the NFL, every single week, you're going to play at least guys the size of the Alabama defensive line for the most part.
As good or better.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, yeah, you can have weeks off and know you're going to play a week's, you know, your conference or for whatever reason. Whether the teams have the ability to either score more or stop guys more, that's one thing. But the size and the athleticism and the strength is going to be on par every week for the most part. And you're not used to that.
Yeah.
So. All right. Jay wants to get in here as well. He wants to talk college kids trying to, I assume, get into the NFL. Jay, what's up?
What's up? Hey, I was listening to you guys talk about it, and really, I don't think it's about the maturity of a player. It's sort of like baseball. Baseball, they would draft you, you would sit, you have to go through, you know, minor leagues. It's really about the NCAA and their money. If you think about it, it's the same thing with the basketball situation. You know, they put the one and done in place because why? They can't capitalize off these guys, you know, bringing in endorsement money and selling out arenas if this guy is good. And then, hey, here comes the pros to come in and swoop them up once again. So to me, you know, college is trying to hold on to these guys for dear life because just like you guys said, Johnny Manziel, if, you know, think about it. If someone from the NFL said, hey, look at this kid, Texas A&M wouldn't have made that $300 million to keep them relevant in the SEC. So, to me, it's more so about the money more than anything else because we all know safety is the number one issue for half these schools and teams and things like that. It's about the money. It's the revenue. Same thing with college coaches. You know, yeah, we love you, kid, but as soon as you want to transfer, oh, no, we're going to hold you. You know, you can't go to this school. You can't go to that. It's because it's about revenue.
Appreciate the call, Jay. I mean, I'm not going to argue with him.
Mm-mm. No, I mean, I hear you. I'm with you. I mean, it's just one of those things where we know and we've already beaten it all the time when we talk about the NCAA. They don't have the best interests of kids and athletics. They have money on their mind. When you talk about everything from the March Madness and the tournament to the way they're doing the college football playoffs and everything else, I mean, it's a massive money-making machine, and they want to keep it well-oiled and moving along. So, all right, we'll continue to move along as well. We've got lots more to get to, and if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can also hit us up on Twitter. Before we hit the break, I do want to remind you, if you're a golfer out there and you're trying to get, you know, lower your scores, have more fun, and hit the ball better on the golf course, I may have an answer for you. PXG is a new golf club that is out there, and they are simply engineered like no other golf club that's ever been constructed. They're going to have you hitting it farther, launching it higher with a softer feel, with more forgiveness and accuracy than anything that you'll ever put in your golf bag. And the reviews are saying the same thing. They're getting reviews like absolutely remarkable and the best golf clubs out there. And PXG Tour pros are describing them as undeniably the best and the real deal. Customers of PXG call them insanely good, and they're living up to the hype. And that's all you need to hear when you're looking for new golf clubs in your bag. And on top of that, these clubs have won on every major tour around the globe and even a college national championship. So what are you waiting for? If you want to join the rest of the people that are raving about these clubs and try them out, you can step up your game, enjoy golf more, and lower your scores. All you got to do is schedule a fitting for PXG golf clubs at the Club of Carlton Woods, which is in the Woodlands right here on the outskirts of Houston. So it's very, very close by, and you can get going on PXG golf clubs. All you do is call 844-PLAY-PXG, 844-PLAY-PXG, or visit pxg.com and book your custom fitting. PXG, nobody does golf clubs the way they do, period.
This is ESPN 97.5. Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Big show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Thursday. And we want to remind you that we are doing it again based on overwhelming success. And by that, I mean you guys really had one heck of a start to last year when we did the Usual Suspects Weight Loss Challenge. You lost a ton of weight. We all had a lot of fun along the way. Had some great people involved, like trainers and nutritionists and people that gave you advice and motivation, and the Facebook page had people motivating each other. We're going to do that all again. We're going to get it going, I believe, Monday?
They're shooting for the 14th, I believe.
Okay, so around Monday, Tuesday, or the 14th, whatever the 14th is.
They'll email people once they figure it all out.
So if you want to get involved, text us and leave us your email address, and obviously we'll have your phone number off the text line, and your name, 713-780-3776, and I will get in there and put them all on the document so that we have a long list of people that want to partake. But it is fun, and it is beneficial, and as we talked about yesterday, Mandy lost, what, over 100 pounds?
130 pounds. That's a whole person.
Gosh.
Or half a person in Nick's case. That's really...
I think I'm a buck 70 right now.
Are you?
Yeah.
What's your average? I mean, what, is that where you,
like
what,
when I'm big, the, is, I'm closer like, to 190.
What about your upper half?
I don't know. I mean, I'm 170. I'm guessing my upper body strength or weight is I don't know.
Another 100?
No, like 80 pounds maybe.
We used to kid Charles because Charles Barkley would put on so much weight and he'd always go, "You know, I got to get down to my playing weight." And we're like, when you're playing what, checkers? Because right. You ain't even close. Because in the offseason, he would never pick up a ball, but he'd pick up the lazy massive Susan. And he would, and he was one of those freaks of nature. I think I've mentioned this before. He would literally, as a challenge to himself, he'd gain weight the entire summer. And then a week before training camp, we'd all go to Vegas for like 4 days. And he'd come back, and for four straight days, he'd put those triple thick sweatshirt and sweatpants on. And then scrimmage and play hoops, and then in between and after he would do suicides and just completely try, and then get in the steam room, and then would sit in the bucket of ice after each session. And we're like, that's a death sentence for most people, and yet he would
build differently.
I never understood the steam room thing. That's if I get
you're gonna gain it back when you drink water,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Like, yeah. I get that if you're cutting weight for a jiu-jitsu tournament or MMA fight or wrestling or something, but. Just to hit in the sauna, you might lose a pound of sweat, but as soon as you drink liquids, you're going to get it back.
I thought it was for like relaxing your muscles, like post-workout.
I've never heard that. Usually people get in there to sweat and lose weight.
They'll wear the plastic
and relax,
suit
but
and,
not like muscles specifically. That could be. I just never heard that.
Because like, didn't I mean, you have in high school?
If you go to any normal gym, that's where they're at. Like after the workout, you'll see guys just and gals just sitting in the steam room.
Well, I think because the common misconception is that if you're sweating, you're losing weight. That's what people think. You're losing water weight, but you gain it back, too.
I think a lot of people that were drinking the night before, too, go into there because they try and
sweat out the bad stuff.
Sweat out the bad stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, did you in high school, didn't you have wrestlers that wore the plastic suits and they went in the showers with the
I did that.
On hot?
I did that for the jiu-jitsu. We didn't have wrestlers in our high school. We didn't have wrestling. Oh, okay. But I did that for jiu-jitsu. That's a thing that you learn is you get those plastic suits.
Yep.
And then the other thing is you put Albaline all over your body and get in a hot bath.
What's Albaline?
It's like this makeup remover, but it's almost like a Vaseline kind of thing.
Okay.
But you put it all over your body, and it basically clogs your pores, and it causes you to just sweat profusely. And right. So you do that. You get in a bath and with Albaline on, and you just shrink. Like if you wanted to lose 5 pounds overnight, you could probably do that with Albaline and sweating.
Really?
Overnight. Yeah. So it's – yeah, that's – but I did that as part – when I – cut weight, cut all that weight. Both AJ and I did that, cutting for that one of the jiu-jitsu tournaments we did. Yeah, that and the sweatsuit, mm-hmm. those plastic suits, man. You do the Albaline in the plastic suit, you might die. Like, it's, jeez, you sweat your ass off.
I'd never heard the Albaline thing. But yeah, we had wrestling in our high school, and that's what the wrestling team would do before a meet. They would just get a plastic suit on, put all the showers on, hot on high, and jump rope.
I've seen guys before MMA fights here locally when I covered it. I would see guys get in their car, like, they would go to weigh-ins, like, even for Legacy, back when Mick would run Legacy. We'd be there covering the weigh-ins, and you'd see a guy be a pound over. Like, you know, if he's supposed to weigh in at 155, you get in a pound allowance, so you can come in at 156. This dude would come in at 157. They'd be like, look, you got to cut, or it costs you your purse, or, you know, as a percentage of your purse and this and that. And I'd seen dudes go and layer up, like, five layers of sweatshirts and sweatpants, get in the car, turn the heater on high, and just sit there and sweat and try to sweat a pound out in the car right at weigh-ins. And then they get out and go run around the building like 10 times, get back in the car and sweat some more. They'll do anything. Like, I've seen guys like weigh in, and I don't know, Nick, maybe you've seen this, but if you've ever seen a guy weigh in at an MMA fight, and they'll put their hands in the air and exhale, and they say it makes you weigh less. I'm like, if it does, it's like maybe like if you shaved one of your underarms. It can't be enough that it would matter.
And maybe it only impacts or it affects certain people, but I have seen certain fighters raise their arm. I don't know if it really makes a difference. I'll try.
I just remember a couple of fighters saying that. I was like, no way.
How does it work, though? So, like, you only get one weigh-in? So, like, you're on a separate scale than the official weigh-in scale, so you know you're 2 pounds over?
No, you weigh in. So, the day of the weigh-ins, you have – and it depends on where you're at and who you're weighing in for. And, like, locally, I can speak to that more. But, like, when you're weighing in on a Legacy fight or Fury Fighting, which is owned by Eric Garcia – those are run by TDLR, so the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulations, who are the ones that put they're licensing the fighters and the promotions. So they're in charge of the weigh-in. So when you get there, you and your opponent both step on the scale, obviously at different times, but you get on the scale, and whatever you weigh, you get whatever that weight class is plus a pound is your allowance. If you're over, you have until a specific time. Now, what's crazy is TDLR can set that time. They can be like, look, I'm leaving this venue at 6 p.m. You have until 6 p.m. But some of them might be like, well, I'll come to your gym at 8 o'clock tonight and reweigh you to make it official. So there's all kind of this weirdness that goes on. There's nothing really set in stone. I've seen them like, oh, you know, meet me at the house at 10 o'clock at night. And they said, okay, well, I'll do that.
And the other fighter just has to take the word for
they'll
it.
Go. That, no, the other fighter will go. Okay. The other fighter will go. The TDLR will take their scale or the scale that was used at weigh-ins. And it's weird, man. It's a big thing. But usually, you know, I've seen guys have to strip butt-ass naked. And then they'll hold a towel up around them at the weigh-ins in the middle of a Hooters. Just to weigh in and make weight. So it's crazy, man. They take it really serious.
I mean, you get a second opportunity, like Barry mentioned, but it's difficult. Usually, if it gets to that point where you're getting a second chance, it means you're probably struggling somewhere to knock off all that extra water weight and get down to
it. And honestly, what's the time from the weigh-in to competing? Because you're going to be weak then.
Next day.
You
got 24 hours, basically. Weigh-ins will usually be like, locally, weigh-ins will be like at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday.
Okay.
And then the fights are at 7 o'clock on a Saturday.
Okay, got
it. So you have 24 hours to eat. Same thing with the jiu-jitsu tournament. Like, when AJ and I did that, I weighed in at 169, and I rolled at 185, 190.
Wait, time out. You rolled?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Jiu-jitsu. The jiu-jitsu tournament, they call it rolling.
That's when it started?
That's just, it's called rolling. Like, like when you're on the mat rolling around.
Oh, okay.
So they call it rolling.
When you're competing, it's called rolling.
Yeah.
Okay, so you gained all that weight after the weigh-in?
24 hours.
Dang.
I weighed in on 169. I want to say I was 185.
You loved
the tournament
in
24 hours. Boy, I like dropping that much weight.
We
went to the Italian, like Olive Garden or something like that, and just AJ gained more than that. Like, he weighed in at 18. I want to say he weighed in at 185 and rolled at like 210 or something like that
in 24 hours.
It was stupid. I don't know. I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was more than what I did, and I did a lot. I gained a lot back. So yeah,
I imagine Anthony Johnson. Remember Anthony Johnson when he used to cut all that weight and go all the way down to 170, and he was built like a light heavyweight or a heavyweight. I think he was another one of those guys where he would weigh in at 170 or 174 because sometimes he would miss weight.
He would miss.
And then the next day, he'd be like 193 or 198.
Some guys will gain 20 pounds.
Yeah.
But you talk about depleted. Like AJ
in one
and I,
day?
Yeah, we had to walk to, when we got to Dallas, we checked in, and then we had to walk to the weigh-ins, and it was like 10 blocks. We literally almost passed out on the streets of Dallas. We were so depleted with no water in our body. And then we got there. We had to go sit in the sauna. It was a mess.
But
man,
on the comeback, on the next day, before after you eat all that food,
all
aren't
night long,
you just kind of? But aren't you just kind of like lethargic?
No, the food.
Remember,
the
there's
energy,
like there's
man.
Like some people can literally lose 20 pounds in water weight only. So when they just replenish themselves with water, they can gain. They can gain 15, 20
immediately
pounds.
Immediately start drinking Gatorade and Pedialyte. You start eating right away. You start off eating kind of healthy food. You don't just eat it all at once. But over the course of those 24 hours, we were eating like once an hour.
Good Lord.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That is unreal. All right, so we're doing the weight loss challenge. Again, if you want to take part, 713-780-3776. Text us your email address, your name. We'll have your phone number, and we'll get you everything you need as we get rolling on this around the 14th. Before we hit the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. I've been telling you about them for a while now. Fitz Roofing is the only place you should go to if you need roofing repairs or a new roof on your house. Simply put, it's because they're locally owned and operated. They're not going to be taking your money up front and then skip in town like deposit thieves or storm chasers or just some of the sketchy roofers that are out there. They are dedicated to the Houston area, so therefore you're going to get the best product at the best price with the best warranty from a company that has your back. They're going to be here in the city if anything ever goes wrong. They're a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master Company. Only 1% of the roofers in the United States meet the criteria to get this elite status. They got it. That also means they use CertainTeed Shingles, which means you get the best. And their base warranties are longer than the average roofer. Not only do they do great work on your roof, but they also care about the Houston community. That's why they give 10% of their profits back through a nonprofit called Fitz for Families. The money goes to help people with financial needs or that need a new roof but can't afford to pay for it. That's what they're there for. They have an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. What are you waiting for? Either hit them up online, fitzroofing.com, F-I-T-Z, or call them up at 832-521-3001. 832-521-3001. You get a free, no-obligation inspection, and they can do it today. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Joel, Barry, and Nick with you until 4 p.m. Blitz takes over. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can text or call 713-780-3776. That is your text line. That is your phone number to dial and get in touch with us. You can also hit us up on Twitter, at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at The Producer Nick. Several different ways to get in touch with us from the text line. Remember we were talking about Harden and somebody, Mike had the joke on Twitter about Harden's best defense was when the ball went off his face.
Fantastic tweet.
This is what drives me nuts about this. Somebody texted this to the show. I'm so over the Harden no defense circle J. He's been an above average defender for the last two seasons. Y'all like to talk about how Westbrook plays defense. Do y'all even watch the games? Sir? And or ma'am, look, we've talked about the fact that in years past, or at least I know I have tried to give Harden his due on defense. He's up there in like second or third in steals in the league, and he has been for most of the year along with Chris Paul while Chris Paul was healthy. We've pointed that out. We've talked about the fact that he's played better defense this year. When he's motivated, he plays better defense. The year of the Kardashian curse, he did not. But overall, when Harden does play good defense, when he's motivated or wants to, we give him credit. But don't act like he doesn't take games off or years off.
I've given credit to James Harden for his defense when it was due.
And that's all I can say about that. You hear what you want to hear, sir. Well, that's the thing. You're hearing what you want to hear.
All I can say is he got me. I've finally been outed. I don't watch games. So I don't watch basketball, and I wouldn't know.
I will admit, back in the day, I used to keep track of his my bads. I had a stat that I would Harden would just have a lot of my bads during a game where either defenders would blow by him or he would make a dumb pass or whatever. He would leave the league in my bad.
Oh, yeah, 10 turnovers yesterday.
My bad. You just do something, my bad. Yeah, he led the league in that for several years. But that was a while ago. As of the last 3 or 4 years, can't really – I mean, other than his lapses in defense the 1 year, can't really say much. I mean, he's been all right.
I will say he does. Great. If you really want me to give him credit on defense, I will say despite his height, because of – and Joel has talked about this as well, because of the strength that he has in his body, that he can defend bigger guys in the post better than I think some of the people at the same height. And we've given him credit for that.
Yeah, obviously I was kidding about the not watching basketball, but because the fact of the matter is we just yesterday we were talking about he's a good low post defender, regardless of the size difference. And you, I remember, you know, it's frustrating because of the fact the last couple of years, especially in the playoffs or at certain times, you'd be like, man, he did it again. He was playing good D. And then there was that one time where he either turned it over or they went to the other end and he just quit on it. And so it's not like games now that he's taken off. It's plays, but it's still frustrating because he's capable. Defense is desire. It's your desire to get stops. And sometimes he loses the desire mid-game.
Yep. And sometimes he'll lose his desire to play D when he doesn't get that foul call. Like if he, you know, exactly. Shoots a three-pointer and he'll fall.
Out. Yep.
And then he was like, he'll look at the ref and
instead of running down the court to get back on defense, he'll throw his arms in there and kind of pout walk down the court. Which there's a lot. Look, it's
a lot
not
of
just
players
Harden.
Do that. Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
A lot of NBA players are guilty of that.
Absolutely.
You just notice it more when it's your superstar on your team. Russell Westbrook is guilty of that. James Harden is guilty of that. LeBron has been known to do that on occasion, though most of the time he gets back. But plenty of guys, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, they'll pout walk down the court. So it's not just Harden. Walt said, Barry, I told all the people I know in St. Paul about your shows, and she said she might come out. Which I love
all the people.
Hey, you're blowing up one fan at a time. Walt, I'll take it, man. I appreciate it. Thank you for the love and looking out for me, man. Much appreciated. Yeah, if you know somebody. Oh, by the way, I just wanted to say this. I'm really excited. Y'all know that I'm doing the podcast. It'll start on the 15th. So it's ready to go on Stitcher, and Google Play should be up soon. So if you're on Stitcher, just look for the 15.
You got to put it everywhere. You got to put it on Spotify. Well, you got to put it on iTunes.
I'm waiting. So this morning,
Amazon, I think, has a platform now.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I was just going to say, you guys have a field day. What's Stitcher?
Stitcher is just a podcast slash, it's kind of like Spotify.
Okay.
But mostly podcasts.
Correct.
And so if I've already been approved, the channel is up. If you go to Stitcher and Google or search the 15, it's there. Google Play was approved, so it should be up soon. And then I'm waiting on iTunes and Spotify to get back to me.
The logo
already submitted.
Hmm? Your little logo looks good.
Thank you. Yeah, cool. I paid for one of those and designed the other one.
So I'm going to start a podcast and use that pic that I posted earlier today.
Oh, yeah? What's it going to be called?
You think it'll be approved for the podcast
Giannis?
Cover?
The Infidel? The Infidel podcast?
Oh, the one with the... NFL news of the day just coming out as well. We mentioned this because we said that Kingsbury was probably going to have to get a guy with NFL experience to help him. Former Broncos head coach Vance Joseph interviewing with Arizona today and then going to Cleveland to interview for the same job as defensive coordinator with the Browns tomorrow. And the Bengals and Dolphins, who we mentioned, still have vacancies at their head coaching position, are now rumored to be waiting on coaches still in the playoffs.
I really hope they're not retreads because I really spoke too soon. I was like, when that second retread came out, I'm like, dang it.
Yeah.
I was hoping it was just Bruce.
Now, didn't you say the closest without going over? Isn't that what you said?
Yeah, so I'm not over yet. Because it's less than one.
You were half a person.
It was 0.8.
There's one person, so you lost.
You were half man, half amazing prediction.
There's two. It's the closest without over. Y'all are four. He's four and you're six.
You said 5%.
Which is 0.8 of a person.
And if one person is a retread, you're over.
That's true. That's a fact.
That's a fact. You needed a guy.
It's the closest without going over.
One is over.
It's over.
For you, it's over. Four, three
but my
is
guess
under four.
Is 0.8.
How are you not getting this?
How are you not getting this? It's the closest without going over. I have 0.8. There's one retread higher, or two retread hires.
Is one more than 0.8?
No, it's 0.8 more than two is the question. Because there's two retread hires. Yeah.
What am I missing here?
No, I think he's right.
I'm 110% right. I don't
know
what Barry's talking about.
Would be like a dollar. So he guesses a dollar, and right now on the board, we have $5.
You are 120% wrong right now. It's the closest without going over. I have 0.8. There's two retread hires.
Actually, you have 0.4.
Okay, whatever.
5% of 8 is 0.4. I just
okay.
did the maths.
But it's the closest without going over. Who's the closest without going over right now?
We're both over, and he's not.
Yeah.
He's right. He's actually right on this.
I feel like the number...
This is actually fantastic.
I'm so confused right now.
It's really not that hard.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm trying to use Price's Right logic for you.
Yeah, I know.
Nick just put a dollar. I said 500. You said 1,000. Nick said a dollar. Right now, the closest average retail price
would be me
is $250. So the Nick's only the closest way, without going over.
So the only way he's right is if it's five.
No, the only way I can win is if there's two vacancies left. If they fill them both, I hit it dead on. But anything over that, I'm over.
Exactly.
Anything over what you picked, you're over.
No, anything, what the actual is, I'm over.
Wait, that would apply
Someone
to him.
Someone just pulled off the road
that
right
would
now.
Apply
They're
to
so
him.
Frustrated and confused.
I'm so confused right now. I got to get this right.
If I had to guess somebody's age right now, and that person was 50 years old, and we said closest without going older, I guess 48, you guess 51, he guess 52, who wins?
You do.
Okay.
Play the music. Hopefully the sports mappers will be able to help out. Two in the books, one to go, 1 hour left of the big show.
I'm not even high right now.
And 94.1 FM will be joining the fray in about a couple of minutes. So we'll be back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.